I'm Azana. I live in Columbus, Ohio. When we vote, we send a message that we will be heard. And with so much at stake, our fundamental right to vote is on the line. We can't afford to miss this chance. Vote by November 5th.
Paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party. www.ohiodems.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 302, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, and I know so many people go on to talk about Juan Soto's free agency, and that's all he had to answer questions about. I mean, he wasn't asked anything about this series, wasn't asked anything about anything other than his free agency next year. And his comments are what his comments have been from the very beginning. His comments have been what they have been from the very beginning. And let's hear, I think we might have a second, I'm waiting on. There's a couple of, but pretty much, like, there's some cuts and asks, you know, and he's very direct, and he shows no emotion. Here, now Fliegelman's got one, so let's play a couple of Juan Soto cuts. It's late, you know, we're trying to get these things together. I don't have the crack staff that some others do. I'm not sure we have staff here at WFN anymore. That's okay, I'm just kidding. Fliegelman's doing everything he can, believe me. If that came off poorly, Mike, you know I love you. All right, here we go.
The Yankees have any advantage with signing you based on what you experienced?
I feel like every team has the same opportunities when I'm going to the free agency. I don't want to say anybody has any advantage, because at the end of the day, we're going to look what they have and how much they want me.
So, yeah, the Yankees do not have an advantage. All 30 teams have the same advantage. Which we know is not true, because he said he wants to go to a winning team. So if the White Sox pony up $700 million, I don't think he's going to Chicago. That is a coached player. Juan Soto has said and talked like this, and I know many people have been talking about it. It sounds like he's in past tense mode with this team. Even Aaron Boone, when talking about Juan Soto, kind of spoke in past tense. I think they all understand that it's very he intends to go out on free agency, and he intends to enjoy it, much like Judge did. Now, we all felt, like, I'll just take it to Judge. Now, Judge was a little bit more, I want to be here, kind of a little bit, but he spoke the same kind of stuff, and we had no idea. He was going to San Francisco. Arson Judge is leaning towards San Francisco. We all thought, we had no idea what was going on. Now he's doing interviews saying it was always New York. I never wanted to leave New York. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, we have no idea what Juan Soto's thinking. He's not going to allow us to know what he's thinking. He's going to hit free agency. He's been planning for this moment for 6 years. He's earned every bit of this. And he is not going to make any other team think it's an uphill battle. That against the New York Yankees, they're going to have to outbid every. Like, he's just, he's going into this. He knows exactly what to say. He's been coached by his leadership group. He's been coached by his agent. He is not going to give any sort of leanings in any way, shape, or form on what he plans or intends to do at all. He was asked about the Mets, and he's like, I have no idea who's going to, you know, approach me with a contract, but I will listen to anybody who does. Like, that's it. We've known this forever. There is nothing he could have said, nothing, that would have made me feel any different about the Yankees' chances in retaining him in free agency. Nothing. Unless he came back with, you know, me and Hal talked yesterday, and I think that something would be in the works in the next few days. Like, other than that, like, even if he said, yeah, you know, I really loved it here, and we'll see. Like, you know, I'd love to talk to the Yankees because I did have a great time. Like, that wouldn't make me feel any better. Like, Juan Soto is going to go out there and try and get the biggest contract he can get. The only thing I will say is that Judge sounded the same, and he went out there and turned down more money to come back to the Yankees. Trey Turner turned down more money elsewhere to go to Philadelphia. I don't think he'll turn down a lot of money, and the Yankees better be willing to write a number that starts with six and has a lot of zeros if they want to retain him, no doubt. I'm not saying he'll come back for a bargain. But I fully believe that there is a, because I think we all understand it. I feel the same way. I feel the same way about Juan Soto's free agency as I always have. Always. He is going to go out there and try and get the most amount of money he can. And the Yankees are going to give him an enormous number. It probably won't be the biggest. If Steve Cohen is interested in him, the Mets are probably, and maybe even some, I have no idea. But I would think for sure the Mets are probably, if this thing becomes a bidding war, going to give him more money than the New York Yankees. I think that's probably fair to say. Here's what I'll say. I think there is a decent enough chance to feel somewhat optimistic if you're a New York Yankee to understand how much Hal Steinbrenner believes in stars, believes that that's the business. We talk about Hal Steinbrenner's business. His business is retaining superstars. He goes out and gets Cole. He brings back Judge. This is a guy who's now been in his uniform. The fans love. You see how great he is. He's 26 years old. He believes that superstars are part of the machine that make him the money he makes if you think Hal's just a businessman. And I do think they will offer him a contract that there is a chance that it's big enough and close enough to the Mets that he will choose to stay. I think that's on the table. A lot of people don't, that he'll go for whatever. If they offer him $10 more, he'll go for the $10. Okay, maybe. I don't know, maybe. I do think it's on the table that if the Yankees give him a number he's comfortable with and it's close enough to the highest bid he got, that he will take it and stay with the Yankees. He had his best year ever, and it's a Hall of Fame career already. He had his best year ever playing next to Aaron Judge. They were just in the World Series. I know we now view them, and you view them, as a loser franchise and a bunch of losers, and they just lost the World Series. They're a bunch of bums. He just played in the World Series with this team. I think that would constitute, for most people, as a winning organization. And if they pony up and get close enough, I think there's a chance. I also think there's a chance he's down for every dollar and he's gone. Same how I always felt. And some of the comments coming out of here, whether it's about his teammates and ownership, or whether it's about every team is involved, or whether it's about, you know, I'm going to enjoy myself and we'll see how it goes, or whatever else he says, it's all the same thing. He's not giving you any of his leanings. He might not even know right now, 5 minutes after losing the World Series. It might take time for him to come to grips with the idea of no longer being in a Yankee and whether or not that affects him. He might not know exactly how he'll treat this free agency just yet. But what he does know is how to answer questions. And I wouldn't read into any of it. Good, bad, or indifferent. At all. He's going to hit free agency. He wants everybody to believe they're in on it. He doesn't want to give any leanings about how he feels about anything. He doesn't want to make the Yankees think they can offer him a less number. He doesn't want anybody else to think the Yankees are going to retain him. He wants radio silence until he starts getting offers. And so he's not messing around. And he's well coached on that. Maybe they should hire Scott Boras as the manager of the Yankees, because Juan Soto is certainly well coached on what to say. Mike in South Amboy. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man, you just hit my point exactly. Game one, I thought was on Boone. Mm-hmm. All the other games were on the players. It is what it is.
Yeah, I would love to
blame Boone for all the losses or whatever, but it's that's just not the situation. But with Juan Soto and his reaction after in the post game interview, He just sounded like he was like, I'm neutral. I don't know. I can't tell you anything, but I really would have liked to hear him be like a little more Yankee-esque, like we're gonna get it, guys. Like,
he's not gonna say that. And thank you for the call. He's not gonna say we're gonna get it, guys. He's not going to indicate he has intentions of coming here. He's not staying here. He's not going to do that. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, no, we got unfinished business here. He's not going to say that. He's no longer a Yankee. They have to. This is it. Time's up. They're going to have to sign him to another contract. And he's not. He wants to enjoy free agency, and God bless him. The guy turned down $400 million to get to this point. He's going to live it up. He's going to go talk to teams. He's going to see if there's any crazy numbers out there. Maybe there's a crazy number we don't see coming. Who knows? Maybe the Toronto Blue Jays tried to get Ohtani. Maybe the Toronto Blue Jays offer him $750 million. I have no idea. And neither does he, so he's going to stay with it. Mike in the Bronx. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? I appreciate you getting me on. I was in the stadium tonight.
Brutal.
And I might be talking my age a little bit here. So I'm 30 years old. So my last resemblance of a world championship was in 2009. I was a freshman in high school, 15 years ago. And I'm lucky enough to be a part of that Yankee crew where we grew up on the late 90s. And I'm asking 01, 03, 04, 02, 05, when they lost,
yeah,
did they get any tough questions? Derek Jeter, the crew, did they get tough questions where, hey, you guys came up short?
Of course, Mike, they got tough questions, but they had, you know, when you mentioned those seasons, they had already won 4 championships. It's a lot easier to answer, you know, Derek Jeter had a lot easier time answering tough questions after a series loss with 4 rings. But yeah, they got asked tough questions, and they were disappointing into the season. They had all those consecutive years of not making it out of the first round. Right, they get bounced 0-2 in the first round, then they get to the World Series, then 0-4 in the DS, then 0-5 in the first round, or 6 in the first round, or 7 in the first round. They had to answer difficult questions, but they had at least the core 4, and some of the team, you know, A-Rod didn't, but some of the guys on that team had the trophies in the showcase already. And Joe Torre certainly had the showcase. Like, there was a lot of questions. I remember 2004, everyone getting on him for not running on the base path and stealing bases with Tim Wakefield on the mound. I remember a lot of people with the Jabba Chamberlain situation getting all over him. Why did you allow that to happen? Why didn't you take your players off the field or do something to stop the game or something? There was tough questions. Detroit, they lost to an inferior team, and they played in the AL Central, believe that or not. You know, the Yankees lost to an AL Central team once. That 06 team was so much better than that Tigers team, and they lost that series. There was always tough questions, but Joe Torre had rings. Derek Jeter had rings. Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada had rings. This team ain't got Jack. Thank God, Jack. And I'm just seeing, like, and to get back to the fundamental thing, I'm just seeing a post from Joel Sherman. I haven't read the article. I have a sneaking suspicion I won't be able to read the article. But, oh no, look at that. I might be able to. So I'll read it during the break. But from the first day of spring training to the last, nothing is more common than pitchers fielding practice, PFP. And within the grounders to first, the grounders to first. Pitchers covering. No shock that the fundamentality unsound Yankees messed that up only to cost themselves a shot at the World Series. Again, I guess you could look at it that way. That makes sense. If it's the most practiced play, what would you like the manager to do? Like, is he not, you're saying that they practice it less than other teams? Or they don't, explain to me how that play, and by quoting the fact that it's the most practiced play, it's the simplest of baseball, and in the biggest moment, he didn't do it. I understand that. Again, I guess it's on Boone. It's on Boone. Steve in Bayside, what's up, Steve?
What's going on?
What's up?
Did you watch you've been saying that these things are inexplicable, and I'm going to try to offer my explanation.
Sure.
Because, things that keep happening over and over again, there must be some reason.
Well, Judge has never made an error. Judge didn't make an error all year, so that doesn't happen over and over again.
Well, no, I'll get to that. I agree with you on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Did you see Boone's post-game press conference?
I didn't see it. I heard a little bit of it as I was driving in. Once the game where I live, as soon as the game ends, I got to hop in the car. So I didn't get a chance to see.
Okay, glittering example. Yeah, no, glittering example of my point.
Yeah.
They said, you know, they asked Boone, what about the Volpe play? What about the Judge play? Hey, we have to make those plays. Mm-hmm. Perfect answer. No problem with that.
Yep.
What about Cole Nuts? Well, you know, I'm sure he had a lot on his mind. He was in the middle of a tough inning, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Zero accountability. The mental error, zero accountability. The physical error, no problem, you know, saying to the media,
right.
saying to the media, we have to make those plays.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing every time the Yankees have won, you know, any of these, you know, anytime they beat up on the AL Central
right.
or when they won a game or two, you know, the game that they just won yesterday, you hear about how much this team loves each other. And that's usually teams that win do usually, that's a good thing. I mean, you want guys to have each other's back.
Yep.
You don't want players calling each other out publicly.
Right.
But you do want accountability.
Yeah.
Within the team.
Sure.
And that's what I think is lacking on this team.
That's fair.
You know, you were talking about Torrey.
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking about Torrey, Torrey won when he had Zimmer next to him. Didn't win anything without Zimmer.
Right.
Won when he had Zimmer next to him. And also Jeter in the Jeter in the clubhouse.
There you go. There you
now,
go.
Now, Jeter was very much like Aaron Judge. He didn't want to be the bad guy, but when he would see something,
yeah, he had
Posada, who was going to do his dirty work for him. I think that kind of, look, great teams, they have each other's back,
mm-hmm.
they fight for each other, but they also have a culture of accountability, and I think that's what's lacking.
Yeah,
and don't forget, this is Boone's first managerial job.
I understand that, but like what you just said, you think Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada held the team accountable because Joe Torre enforced, like you think that Joe Torre taught them how to do it?
No, I think there was more of a culture of accountability than I see with these Yankee teams.
I understand it's Boone's first managerial job, you're indicating that's because Boone is the manager. So what I'm saying is, and I hear what you're saying. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. And I think it has to be within the players more than the manager. Like, I totally agree. They've got to hold themselves accountable. And again, we say this a lot about, we're saying it now with the Jets, right, in football. Hold accountable. In baseball, it's a little bit easier because you play 162 and I suppose you could bench him. What should Boone do? Like, I really would love someone, call me up, tell me what holding accountable is. Like, so Gerrit Cole, like you just used this as an example. Gerrit Cole had a mental gaffe on the final day of the season. Aaron Boone should go into the press conference and say, that's a terrible job by Cole and he cost us the game. When he pitched his heart out and kept him in it and still threw more innings. Like, is that simply holding someone accountable, saying that's a play you have to make? Is that all it takes? Is that what's holding a player accountable? What's holding a player accountable? Benching Gleyber Torres for not hustling? Sure. Sure. Should Gerrit Cole miss a start? Should they, like, next year opening day, give the start to somebody else so they can hold him accountable for the mistake he made in the World Series? I would love, like, what's holding players accountable mean? Because in football, it means even less. Are you going to bench someone one of 17 games? What does hold players accountable mean? Call them out in team meetings? How do you know that's not happening with the New York Yankees? Like, I don't know what hold accountable actually means. Bench, is that the only thing? Because in football, we say hold people accountable. You're not going to bench someone one of 17 games, not someone who's important. Gleyber Torres was benched this year. Taken out of a game for not hustling, benched. He was held accountable. And in many ways, maybe it turned the season around. But I don't know, like, what does hold accountable mean? Yeah, call them out in the media? Hold them accountable to you? give in to your bloodlust of needing them, you know, drawn and quartered out in public? Like, these players make millions of dollars. They're coached. Even in the Joel Sherman article, nothing has gone over more. I'm assuming he means with the Yankees. Like, they go over the pitcher, the PFP, pitcher fielding practice. It's the most common thing that you do all year long. Aaron Judge hasn't dropped a ball all year, hasn't made a single error. Makes an error to start, you know, in the second at bat of this inning. Volpe won a gold glove. He threw a ball into the dirt instead of throwing it to Jazz. I get it. I'm not saying that there isn't sloppy play, but I think it's so easy and it's washed away with hold players accountable. Hold them how? And how many times did Joe Torre rip into someone publicly? Do you remember a lot of Joe Torre holding players accountable publicly? I don't. I don't remember a lot of public rippings of players. Derek Jeter, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit, those are a special, Jorge Posada, that's a special group who held themselves accountable. And Joe Torre is not the reason that Derek Jeter played the way he played and had the mentality he had. He was born with that. He had that. Phil Jackson wasn't the reason that Kobe Bryant had it. Like, you have to have it. And maybe the Yankees need to look into getting more guys who have it. 888, because if we're expecting managers to instill it, we're in the wrong generation.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
You know, and we'll have more time to do this over the next few days and whenever, because, you know, the offseason is going to start kind of right away. That's what happens when you're back in the World Series. You forget that, you know, usually have a couple weeks with the Yankees and Mets to get ready for the offseason. But we'll talk so much about Juan Soto's offseason. And the Yankees have a lot of interesting decisions coming up. This team could look dramatically different. Obviously, the Mets most likely will look dramatically different. But this is going to be a tough offseason for Aaron Judge. This is going to be a tough offseason for Aaron Judge because although he hit the home run, had a double in this game, it's very much too little too late. He at least got a little bit of it off of him because that home run did, you know, it should have been something that helped win this game, but he still had a miserable playoffs. That doesn't change that. And his error at the start of that inning in the fifth is, you know, cost them the game. It's one of the many reasons of that inning that cost the Yankees an opportunity to still be playing. And so much is always put on Brian Cashman's shoulders to build a championship team around him. And while I'm not saying he 100% succeeded in that and you know, the team just didn't play well, Judge was right there and he didn't help this team. And we could talk about fundamentals, right? And whether or not, and again, I'm just arguing this inning, really. I'm not saying that the Yankees are a sound fundamental team. They're not. I think that inning is a lot more inexplicable and hard to understand and frustrating and weird and out there and unbelievable than just to easily throw it away under the guise of this team's crappy fundamentally. Like, that's just where I am with that inning. I'm not trying to say the Yankees aren't poor fundamentally. They are. I just think that inning is beyond that. But like, we could talk about their fundamentals. We could talk about their base running. We could talk about the bottom of the order. We could talk about runners in scoring position. We can talk about all the different things that have hurt this team and the failings of Brian Cashman at the trade deadline. Whatever else you want to say. Here's a fact. And it, I mean, I guess you don't know for sure, but I feel pretty confident calling it a fact. The Yankees would still be playing baseball right now if Aaron Judge had a halfway decent World Series. If Judge came through just slightly less than he normally does, if Judge came through on any real level that you could call him a star player, they're still playing today. him and Cole, right? And I listen, Cole's part of it too. As much as you'd like to take him off, to give up zero earned runs in 6 2/3, ultimately, his inability to cover first cost them 5 runs in this game. But so much is put on the two of them and building around them and making sure they get a championship. Judge had every opportunity to help his team win a championship. They're still playing. If he was better, if he was Judge, forget about it. They're still playing and they have the lead. As good as the Dodgers are, and better than, and they're better than the Yankees, proved it in the series. If Judge were himself, if Judge were the Judge we got last night in game five, the Yankees are up in this series. And he's got to live with that. And he's got to live with the drop ball that leads to that inning. And he's got to, and because of that drop ball, he's got to live with the idea that he finally found his swing. And if they get through this game, it would have felt a lot different heading to Los Angeles. But instead, they imploded. And he was right there for it. He was right there for the implosion. He started it. He started it. It's going to be a tough, bitter pill to swallow. And then if Juan Soto leaves and this team's dramatically different, he's going to have to be everything he was all regular season and then get to this same point and hopefully figure it out in the postseason then. Like, it's his legacy is forever changed until he wins. He'll never be viewed as the same kind of just unbelievable great player until he does it in the postseason, until they win a championship. And this year in particular is marred with the idea of if only Judge were Judge. Because that's all it takes. All the other things with this team, we knew there were flaws. Like, I like when people say, oh, you know, Judge masked this and Judge masked that and him and Soto masked all the problems. Yeah, okay. That's teams. Like, they all have strengths and weaknesses. Like, you know who doesn't make mistakes? You know who's good fundamentally? You know who, you know, the Cleveland Guardians. They don't make mistakes on the base path. They play good defense. They play good fundamentally, and they're so insignificant, the Yankees don't even get credit for beating them in the playoffs. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge were the team. And so, oh, they're not good enough to hit without Judge. Yeah, they're not, of course, they're not good enough without Judge. The Dodgers are a freaking super team. They were good enough without Ohtani. Tip your cap. That's why they're better. But, you know, Judge needs to be the guy or they're not good enough. And I'll tell you this, they could do almost anything in the offseason. It's going to be the same story next year. They need Judge. Need him. And he knows that more than anybody. And that's probably why he was unsuccessful, because he's well aware how much they need him and a war on him. But he's got a long offseason trying to come to grips with the fact that he was a no-show in the postseason, that they got to the World Series because his teammates carried him there. And then in the World Series, up until the last moment, he wasn't good enough. And then he dropped up until that last game. He wasn't good enough until he was. And then he drops a ball, which leads to the most bizarre, frustrating, disappointing, mind-boggling, season-ending, head-scratching, holy crap, where's the Tylenol inning you've ever seen in your life? And if you got the Christmas Vacation reference, good for you. 888-808-1019. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yo, and the Pepto. You forgot the Pepto on that.
Yeah. Monkey! Yeah. He is! Yeah, good.
So, Chris.
Yes.
You are 100% right. You know, players play. And they're practicing. Listen, Chris, you practice pitcher fielding in Little League. And you know what? I'll tell you this. You want to talk about accountable? I would say that Gerrit Cole was at best aggrieved when he was being interviewed after this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was on the verge of tears. And I want to talk about something about Boone that no one is saying. Okay, here we go. Analytics. Nestor wasn't analytics. That was like, I'm my guy. He's my guy. I'm going with my gut on this. I think he can get it done. That was against the analytics. And you know what else was against analytics? When you got a starting pitcher that throws 38 pitches in, I dare anyone to point out an inning like that, well, Mickey Owens dropping a third shot, but not a continuous parade of futility that led to five unearned runs?
Yeah. No, that
one run
crazy.
Was earned. Not a one.
Not a one.
So when Boone left Cole in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, when do you leave a pitcher in a game after he just threw 38 pitches in one inning?
No, Steve, you're 100% right. I was surprised he didn't take him out for Kiki Hernandez after he walked Muncy in that fifth. I was very surprised. I was shocked he went back to him. Shocked to go, to get the top of the order, to get Ohtani out when he had Hill warming up, right? He stuck with him. He did a great job. He did a great job. I mean, after that inning, he did a great job I thought it was the right thing to stick with him, and he did a really good job after that. But, yeah, listen, if you want to criticize Boone, and you're well within your bounds, game one, and especially now that we see the way Gerrit Cole was able to throw 107 pitches, whatever, like, not pushing him in that first game makes no sense. And I don't know if I agree with you about the Nestor thing not being analytical. I think it was. Like, if you on some level, I mean, the numbers say he gets out Ohtani and he's better against Betts. Like, I mean, it's a little bit of a hunch because of it takes a little bit of a gamble because of how many days off he had, but and a little bit of a gut, but it's also a numbers play. If you look at it, it's a numbers play. There's a lot to get on Boone. He had a terrible game one. And that's enough. Like, he cost them game one. That's enough. It's a big deal. It's the World Series. And again, there are flaws on this team. I'm not saying there aren't. I'm saying watch that inning and tell me, again, how is that inning the manager's fault? It's just, we're mad. They have had, there's been lackluster play. There's been fundamental issues. And that's what bit them in the end. And their flaws bit them in the end. But their flaws, those are professional ball. Aaron Judge makes $400 million. He hasn't made an error all year. He dropped the ball. Anthony Volpe's a Gold Glove winner. You think he's not? He made the right decision. He didn't do anything stupid. He didn't make a wrong throw. He didn't throw to the wrong base. He didn't forget to do something. Like, he just threw the ball into the dirt. And then Gerrit Cole, that, without question, is a fundamental thing. They work on it from the beginning. That's fundamentals. I'm sorry. I don't care who the manager is. There's no manager that guarantees me that if the manager held Gerrit Cole accountable, yeah, Gerrit Cole's going to go cover first base. Like, that is just an absolute brain fart at the absolute worst moment. It's not like he doesn't know he needs to cover first base. It's not like they haven't worked on it or gone over it. Like, what does Aaron Boone have to do? Go out there on the field like Christopher Lloyd in Angels in the Outfield and carry him to first base? What would you like him to do? It's been an overarching problem with the team, so we just transition that inning right into it and package it up in a nice little box and say, here's the problem. There are different times over the course of the playoffs where that made sense with the base running issues. That inning ain't it. Just isn't. That's all I'm saying. That inning is players making mistakes, plain and simple. And again, we're so gung-ho on holding players accountable. Got to hold players accountable. Got to hold players accountable. And all you do, all the fans who want to get Blaine Boone, is not hold players accountable. That's what you're doing. I'm holding players accountable. I'm saying it's Judge's fault. I'm saying it's Volpe's fault. I'm saying it's Cole's fault and Rizzo's fault. I'm holding players accountable. You're letting them skirt by blaming the manager. That's what's going on. I want to hold the players accountable. You want to let them get off and blame the manager.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Listen, I didn't, again, post-game, had to get right in the car. Jeter's comments, I don't know if I've ever quite seen an inning like this, especially in a World Series or postseason game. The Yankees made some mistakes. You cannot make mistakes against teams like the Dodgers in particular. That inning, they gave them six outs. Just can't make that mistake. This is one of the greatest meltdowns that I've ever seen in 40 years, said Rodriguez.
Sounds like a typical Yankee hater.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, that's exactly what it was. It was a meltdown. It was an absolute meltdown. They just absolutely just crapped all over themselves. It's watching the replays now. It is so hard. It is so. It's one thing to lose, man. I they're down 3-0. The other night I was at the ballpark. It was a great night. Like, at least they gave us that, right? And I'm not saying it's enough. I want to make sure I don't upset anybody. I'm not saying it's enough, but at least they gave us that. They got off the mat. Volpe had the game. Like, at least they didn't get swept. They didn't just, like, go quietly into the night. They fought back, at least for a night. And you were like, okay, now a call on the mound. I expect them to, you know, it's a real good chance to get back to L.A. But if, like, Cole would have come out and not had it, we would be disappointed. We'd be talking about Cole as a pitcher and overrated and money and all this stuff. And that's fine. I could have lived with that. Or even if just, like, it was a close game because the Yankees couldn't hit again and then the bullpen blew it. Like, I could live with that. It's going to be hard to sleep. Although for me, unfortunately, it's difficult to sleep all the time. But it's going to be hard to sleep with the idea that if Aaron Judge catches a fly ball, they win. It's going to be hard to sleep with the idea that if all it took was covering first base, they didn't have to do anything else. Nothing else out of the ordinary, nothing else to add on top of it. They had done enough. All they had to do was cover first base, and we wouldn't be having this question. And this show like this, and I wouldn't be watching Eddie Scazzeri walk into the room with his Yankee elimination t-shirt on. Wouldn't have to do this. That's tough to swallow. They weren't beat. They beat themselves. And that's not to diminish the Dodgers. Dodgers are very good. They're the better team, and they won the series. They still had to come through with the hits. But I don't think anyone would argue when you say the Yankees beat themselves last night. The Yankees had this game. They're up 5-0. Judge hits the home run. It's going exactly how you wanted it to go. You could not have scripted the first 4.5 innings any better. Other than maybe breaking the game open with the bases loaded, that one opportunity. But, like, really, they're up 5-0. Judge has got the home run. Cole's throwing a no-hitter. Like, it could not have. It was Cole and Judge legacy night in the Bronx. And it came crashing in the most unbelievable way I've ever freaking seen. And if we want to just throw that into fundamentals and the manager, we can. I don't care. Do what you want to do. Jack in Deer Park, what's up, Jack?
I agree with you 1,000% that the players, it's the players' fault. However, I want to bring up a point that no one has brought up.
Okay.
Number one, did you see the catch that your $400 million man made in center field? He crashes into the wall. Mm-hmm. He falls down on the floor. No manager, no trainer comes out to see if he might have had a slight concussion. Nothing, because Judge put his thumbs up and said,
he waved them off.
No, you're right. That's true. Okay, let me finish, please. Okay. Number two, okay, when he threw the ball to third base, and that was a complete debacle. That's another error in the fifth inning. Now is the time for your manager, Aaron Boone, to go out and talk to the pitcher and say, listen, these things happen. Calm down. Relax. Get yourself together. He didn't do that. What he did is he put his hand on the rail, kept on spitting out the peanuts, and he allowed the debacle to go on.
Well,
and I don't care. I don't care
what anybody. Okay. Well, all right, I hear what you're saying.
Let me just finish.
You don't care what anybody says.
No, I do care. What I'm trying to get, I want to get my point across. Okay, if the manager would have gone out or someone gone out and calmed down Cole, maybe, just maybe, he might not have made that brain fart at first base. It's a possibility because it happens in all sports.
All right.
Yes.
Can I speak for a second? You good? I think you got your point across. I get it. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I think you got the timing wrong, though.
Okay.
It's after the mental gaffe. You don't do it before, because you're going to say that he should have went out there and spoke to him after the Volpe error. After
absolutely.
After the Volpe,
that's two in a row.
I understand
that's
that. I finish? Like, this is what I'm talking. Like, can I now? You got on me for interrupting your points. You don't stop. Can I say my point?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What did he do the next two batters after the Volpe error?
What did he struck? He struck the
correct. He struck out Lux, and then he struck out Ohtani. He clearly didn't need a speaking to after that. He got within himself and struck out the next two hitters. It's after he makes the when he makes the mental error. It's okay when the other when Judge makes it, when Volpe makes it. He was cool with it, and he battled back and got two strikeouts. And one being Ohtani, and then got a soft ground ball. He didn't need the talking to after the Volpe error. He did his job after the Volpe error. He got out of the inning without giving up another run after the Volpe error. How could you say that's when he needed the talking to? He did phenomenal after that. He was at his best after that. You could argue they should have went out there and talked to him after he made the mental error. After he did. Because now he's got to live with, I blew this thing. It's one thing, oh, he messed up. I messed up is harder to deal with. So could they have went out there and talked to him? And I don't think they did at that point. Yeah. They could have. He's on such a roll, you don't want to mess with him. He's still at that point. That's pretty much an error. He's pitching a one-hitter. He just went through it, dominated. Like, oh, you got to go out there and talk to him. I get it. He literally just struck out 9-1, including Ohtani, and then got Mookie Betts to ground out on a soft, like, it's not like he's getting knocked around. You could have went out and talked to him. Totally agree. But, again, the 2 points you said are, one, he didn't talk to him right before he went on and got out of the inning. And that he didn't go double check on Judge to be hurt. I mean, I think we could find better things to get on Boone for. 888-808-1019. They definitely could have went out there and tried to calm that inning down. They did without the manager. The players went out there and talked to him for a little bit. But and Rizzo tried to slow it down. You only get so many. And it's Gerrit Cole. It's not Luis Gil out there. It's Gerrit Cole. And he just settled back down. And got three straight outs. Of course, the third one wasn't field. Well, you know, he didn't run the first base. It's. I'm sorry. We're clutching at straws to get mad about something that I don't know if there's anyone to blame. There's a million people to blame. The whole team is to freaking blame. It's an out-and-out debacle, disaster, meltdown, as Alex Rodriguez put it, 100%. It is a meltdown of epic proportions that I don't know if I'm ever going to get over. Like, I don't know if I'm ever not going to see that, you know, ground ball to Rizzo. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to close my eyes again and not see that. This is a epic, that game would have been so much fun to win. Like, even if they don't win the championship, forcing that game back to L.A., you know, winning the game the way they did, having that night in the Bronx, the Judge home run, Cole's performance, you send it back to L.A., even if they lose in L.A., that would have been so much freaking fun. And it would have given us another 2 days of enjoying this thing and talking about what could be and what could be. That's what sports is about. I understand we as Yankee fans, we get focused on it's just about championships. I value the fun it would have been to win that game and the entire next 2 days talking about what could be and the excitement. I put value on those. It's not as much as the championship, but I value it. I value winning the pennant and getting excited with my son. I value that. I appreciate the Yankees gave that to me. I have to, you take it all in. I appreciate winning the pennant. I appreciate making it to the World Series for the first time since 2009. I appreciate the joy I felt when they did that. I do. Maybe I'm different than most. Everyone else is just so mad we forget about that. I'm mad. I'm sick to my stomach. But I try and remember that I enjoyed that moment with my son. And I wanted two more days. I wanted a day to dream, and they robbed me of it.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.